What if you knew exactly how to use cold email, LinkedIn, the phone, and other sales channels to get new meetings and customers for your B2B product or service? Morgan Williams is an enterprise sales rep that's obsessed with cold outreach. If you are sick and tired of fluff, theory, and general advice on how to sell to cold prospects from people who haven't sold anything in the past 20 years, and instead want detailed, tactical, step-by-step instruction, this is the podcast for you. Each week, he'll interview salespeople, consultants, and entrepreneurs about actual outbound sales campaigns they've run with real numbers and results. Each conversation will be a deep dive into deconstructing a specific campaign's results, as well as the strategy behind it. You'll get the opportunity to peek behind the curtain and see what's actually working now in cold outreach. Welcome to Outbound Metrics.
Alex Gray is the co-founder of ListKit. ListKit is a done-for-you personalized list building service. You may recognize Alex from episode number 77, where he talked about a lead generation campaign that he ran for his lead generation company, Growth Boost, B2B Legion. Today, we're going to do a catch-up episode, see what he's doing with ListKit and how he's kind of seeing the outbound landscape change and what he's been up to since our last conversation. So, Alex, how would you define ListKit for the audience?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a done-for-you service. It provides personalized contact lists or personalized lead lists or personalized prospect lists or whatever terminal. It seems like there's so many terms for what the hell that damn list is. I don't know. So basically we're providing cleaned, verified, manually verified by a human being, lead lists, B2B lead lists. And then we're adding a personalized first line. So a personalized kind of introduction for each prospect that is pulling some data from either their website, from their LinkedIn profile, from out in the web as well. Now we're expanding, all that's expanding. And I'll talk a little bit about that maybe first if you want, because I know that's where we get the most questions. It's usually like, what the hell is a first line? Why would I use that? You know, are they quality? Like, because we are using AI to generate them. So are they quality? I've like tried things like this before and it sucked and all this kind of stuff. So
go into that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little bit interesting. So I guess shout out to my dude, Alex Berman. I think he was maybe the first guy to kind of like really talk about doing like these first lines and maybe coin the term and stuff like that. But if you don't know him, he's like a pretty big YouTuber and that's in the cold email space. And yeah, it's like basically, yeah. And it kind of ties into what you asked about the current outbound landscape. I think it's like, things are changing really, really rapidly in this world right now. It's almost, so there was like a rise, I would say maybe what, like 5, 10 years ago, somewhere in there, maybe like 8 years ago, there kind of came up this productized service, kind of surge of productized services, I guess, doing a lot of this like B2B lead gen stuff and cold email stuff. And
about certain amount of leads per month.
Exactly. Or like, you know, pay me like the flat rate. It's like 500 a month and we go out and like get you leads, right? And like do cold email on your behalf. And it was all good, but it started, you know, I think a lot of those companies sort of like formulated these systems and they were sending out similar scripts over and over again. And it was like a systemized approach. And now, yeah, as we get past 2020, I've seen just like, you know, the bell tolled, so to speak. And now we're like in this world where like, you just can't systemize it anymore. It has to be super personalized. Everything has to be mega because it's just spam is so prevalent now. It's getting so it's out of control. And I don't know I know you have a LinkedIn, I have one, you know, you go check that thing and it's just like, it's just a barrage of like nonsensical in some cases, like, you know, kind of connection requests, right? And like just too much to take in. And then the email inbox too. I mean, if you're running any kind of company, you're just seeing like, it's just running an employee or anything really. You're just getting like this barrage of spam emails that are just, it's kind of getting out of control, right? And there's no personalization. And it's just like a bulleted list and it's all this kind of stuff. So with the personalized, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so how do you, what's the intersection of, you know, even a system, but personalizing it? How do you do that?
Yeah. It's that mix of like scalability and personalization, right? Or like in some way, like just authenticity, right? Like having some authenticity to the email where you're not coming off like, I'm sending this to a million people and, you know, I'm expecting a 1% reply rate. So the personalized first line is kind of an answer to that. That's that intersection. And it's basically adding a first line to the email that just personalizes the email to that prospect. So it's, hey, Morgan, really love your podcast. I love the episode number 77 with that dude, Alex, on there, whatever, right? It's like, it's a very like personalized, they obviously like did some research on you. And then they're kind of bringing a question or a pitch or whatever. And then you're kind of like, okay, so it also shows up in the preview in Gmail or the preview in the email clients, you know, that little strip of copy next to the subject line.
Yeah,
exactly. So it shows up there as well. Like you'll have hi, first name, and it'll start saying something real personal. And it's like, oh, it kind of stands out next to the like, hey, Morgan, I'm Alex from ABC Corp and we do this. And you know what I mean? It's like that immediate sort of pitch. So essentially, there are a couple of companies that have sort of cropped up in the last few years that are using AI. They're using GPT-3 in most cases, which is like an AI tool by OpenAI, a company. It's kind of like invite only. It's a hard thing to get access to, and you don't get approved for every single thing with it. But this is something where it's not too manipulatable. It's just sort of like a side note to a cold email. So there's a company called Line, Line.ai,
L-Y-N-E. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. LYNE. There's a company called Warmer, which I think Mailshake just partnered up with. So it's kind of like becoming a bit of a thing. I'm seeing a couple other guys kind of coming into the place and, you know, recently. So it's interesting. And there's been a lot of critique around the quality because a lot of times AI can kind of get a little wacky and be like, you know, hey, Morgan, I saw that, you know, you upgraded your job title like 6 years ago. You know what I mean? Congrats. And you're like, dude, that was 6 years ago. Right. Like, I don't want to hear that. But, specifically, Line has been doing a really good job of sort of like just updating and updating and updating. And the most recent updates are pulling like some insane data, like pulling from like articles that were written about the company in the last like year, pulling from like podcast appearances and places they've like shown up other places, pulling up webinars they've been a part of, like all kinds of stuff. So it's doing a way better job of kind of trying to find that personalization like out in the web as well as like on their profile and on their website and tie it all together in a better way. It's been pretty impressive. So that's what ListKit is using as our back end for the personalized first lines. And we have like a special deal with them where we're providing two personalized first lines for each contact. So you've got a place to put a PS or, you know, if you're doing like a sequence where you're doing a LinkedIn outreach too, you can include like a different personalized first line in LinkedIn. So you're doing like double research and it just saves a ton of time. And I think, like you said, it's that intersection between kind of the mass email, cold email, kind of like bulk, whatever you want to call it kind of deal that's usually considered spam and but it's more scalable, and the more manual, like hand typed one by one kind of SDR kind of approach to email or something like that, where you're really going in and like doing the social selling and doing the whole thing. It just saves a ton of time. So that's what ListKit's providing. It's just something that's already ready. It's just ready to send. Like, and we deliver in 24 hours also. So it's just like you order, you get the list in 24 hours, all personalized, bam, send, see what you get. You know what I mean?
Pivot, so you've got this list of verified contact data, solid. Yep. And then you are adding in up to two lines of personalized information about this prospect. You're generating it with AI, GPT-3, right? And then is someone going in and like checking it?
That's kind of what the last layer is. Yeah, we have a manual, like a human being checking everything. And, you know, that's getting better and better too. And as the AI gets better, we're having to sort of like change less and less. So yeah, that's we're doing kind of like a final quality control with a human being before it gets sent off in that 24 hours. So
gotcha. Are you putting this into your existing outreach process, or are you doing anything different with this stuff?
Well, I think since last time we talked, it is a bit different, like just in the sense of including those custom fields, I guess, in the email and kind of strategizing how to do outreach now, because, and we can talk about that a little bit, because I think, you know, nowadays it's just getting a lot, it's getting a lot harder, frankly, like it's getting like a really tough, you know, the last campaigns, it's just, you really have to keep changing stuff constantly right now, like the way that it is. There's a couple of classics that work, I guess, that I can sort of say that, like subject lines that are like quick question or quick question, first name, or, you know, introduction for first name, some stuff like that. Those kinds of things are still working. I find that those are just kind of like universal to get people to open the email. You got iOS 15 that unrolled out or rolled out and all that stuff, where privacy is becoming this issue where open rates are like not at all accurate anymore, essentially. Like you're not tracking like a pretty good percentage of open rates. So that's becoming... That's in a way it's kind of good, I guess, in my perspective, but just in the sense that you have to focus more on reply rate and more on like actual ROI on the campaigns. You can't just be like, oh, we're getting a 60% open rate though. Everything's going fine, right? It's a little bit more, you have to be a little more scrutinizing about sort of like the actual end results, which is like positive replies, meetings booked, right? Closed deals, you know? So I think that's actually kind of cool. But his open rate was never really it was kind of a proxy just that the email address wasn't burned before, right? It wasn't really, and it still is, you know, if you're getting over 30% there, you probably don't have too many problems going on.
What are you doing? What else are you experimenting with?
Yes, really, like, so we flipped the funnel or flipped the sequence a while back where we were doing LinkedIn touch points first and trying to get in touch with LinkedIn. This is for most of the industries that we worked with, from e-com to industrial to tech kind of startups and stuff like that, kind of like that gambit, you know, kind of like on behalf of agencies, on behalf of industrial companies, on behalf of tech startups. And so we were using LinkedIn as a touch point, and that was actually working really well. So going LinkedIn first, connection request message, first message. If they don't answer those messages, shoot the email and start sending emails. Then LinkedIn put their limit on the connection requests amount per week or whatever. They made it from like 100 a day to 100 a week and started throttling like everything. So we saw just everything get kind of stopped in its tracks. That was pretty hilarious. That was kind of fun to deal with, because then what we ended up doing was flipping the sequence again. So we had gone from like email first to LinkedIn, for then we flipped it back to email first, then went to LinkedIn second, which actually has ended up being a pretty good process. So the process that we're running right now is basically sending an email, cold email first. It's two cold emails in a sequence first. If they open either of those cold emails, if they open, we use it as a trigger. They then will go to a LinkedIn step, which is basically sending that connection request, and it's less salesy. It really doesn't have anything. It's sort of just like another touch point. It's kind of used just to support that first touch point, right? So you got email, it's pretty scalable and you can like scale it up. Then you got, only if they open the email, Will they get the connection request now? And I just mentioned that email opens are all over the place. It's the closest thing we can find to a way to sort of limit LinkedIn interactions down to that kind of like 100 a week area and keep it kind of inconsistent and sort of natural feeling, and also sort of like tether that onto the email sequences. So that's kind of the program right now, is kind of running these personalized first line emails, one and two, where it's kind of like, hey, Morgan, something real personal about your last post on LinkedIn. Hey, curious, you know, do you need any help with XYZ right now? Are you guys looking for XYZ? Or could you take on more XYZ right now, right? Or whatever. We're pretty much using questions now also as a call to action. That's kind of the new development. We're not doing the like, hey, do you have 50 minutes to talk anymore, really? Like nothing pressure, just sort of like inquiring and trying not to assume too much and kind of listing our assumptions about the prospect that we would sort of pitch to them with, you know, and instead ask them about it and just kind of start a conversation and kind of go into a natural conversation and do it that way from now on, instead of trying to go straight for that meeting book. Like as soon as we get a reply, we can kind of work it through and then shoot to a meeting book, you know, hey, we should discuss this further on a call, you know?
And I want to talk about how you handle replies, but I've actually noticed that too. It's becoming more of getting attention of the right people, but there's just going to be a large amount of it that's outside of our control. And one of those things is timing and who's looking for something right now, like who's interested right now. And it's more about finding those people than how good your copy is. I mean, that's part of it, right? What you're offering them, but nothing beats someone who's like, hey, great timing. Da, da, da. Like, it's more about that.
Exactly. You know, the timing is so important. And I think, and the targeting just in general, I think like, you know, it's just getting more and more important, the quality over the quantity at some point. It, you know, obviously there's still sort of that numbers game in the background where you kind of have to, you know, the demand has to sort of, it's a wave, you know, you kind of have to catch the wave at different times and, you know, try different things with the same prospect sometimes or try to like rotate it around. But yeah, definitely intent data is something that we're talking about a lot these days too. And I think that's like a big topic and something that at ListKit we're kind of looking into too a lot is just sort of figuring out what are some common buyer signals? What are some common like sales triggers and buyer signals that we can like latch onto? And I know the last time we talked on the podcast here, it was, that campaign was all about scraping angel lists. It was scraping mm-hmm. job postings, right? And trying to find that intent data. And there's a lot of that out there now that we're sort of tapping into through some different softwares we use and just different stuff that we're looking for. I actually just talked to our fulfillment team the other day, and I was kind of blown. I didn't even know this, but I was kind of blown away that they were telling me that they were only, for many of the agencies that we do lists for, they're only pulling in companies that are actively hiring right now for any role, any position, but they have a job post up somewhere just to make sure that the prospects are active, that they're just like an active company that's doing shit, because that's just like looking the first proxy, right? Looking to grow, looking to expand. And that's really funny. I was like, and I was like, that's every list that we're doing that on? They're like, yeah, pretty much every list we're putting that for the first filter, like for the first list of, you know, a smaller quantity or something like that. We're like doing that all the time, so that like at least you're reaching out to companies that aren't going to be like, hey, I no longer work here, or you know, we're like a local manufacturing company who's not
they're
doing
not
shit,
to
right?
Grow like they got their Rolodex of customers, and they're just getting by.
They send newsletters. They do the thing. Yeah, it's just they go to trade shows, and you're like, man, but we can get you better ROI than the trade show, right? And they're like, we don't care.
No, thanks.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
We like to go hobnob with the dudes over there. You know, right. It's no problem. So yeah. So I think that's that intent data, the intent signals, all that kind of stuff is that's a big deal right now. I think the more intent based you can get, it just driving bottom of the funnel. And I think you and me can talk about that too, where it's just like. Yeah, what you're talking about is basically targeting bottom of the funnel, like only bottom of the funnel. Sales is hitting bottom of the funnel. That's the prime spot. Like hit bottom of the funnel. People that are already problem aware, they're already pretty solution aware, and they just you just pop out of nowhere.
And that combined with the personalization from a tool like yours.
Yes.
It's like now, instead of like, let's say just pick a campaign off the shelf and you're emailing a couple hundred people. Now those couple hundred people, where there may be like, I don't know, 10% there in market, let's say at the time.
Yeah.
Now we're filling that 200 up with all people who are in market.
Exactly.
And we're personalizing it so that when they're scrolling through their inbox on their phone, their email, they see that and like, okay, let me open this.
Yeah. They're like, I wonder what this is. So it's a lot more. Yeah. And it's a very authentic approach. I think at the end of the day, like you're trying. You're balancing scale with authenticity, which like authenticity, I think, is all that's mattering really. Like as we go forward, it's becoming kind of funny. It's why a podcast like yours is captivating and interesting and something that you want to watch. It's why
you tell all the girls that, don't you?
Well, there's a million examples, right? I mean, of people just doing YouTube channels where it's just them in their kitchen, like. Talking to the camera, and it's just extremely captivating because it was funny, man. I'm going to be moving to the beach soon. I'm like in the city still, but I'm trying to move to the beach, and I'm looking at the town that we're going to move to here in Mexico. And I'm looking at the town and I'm going in Instagram. I'm going hashtag, you know what I mean? The town name. And I'm going like, I just want to see some pic. What does it look like? What does that beach look like? What's the deal? Right. And you type that shit in, man, and you go there and it's like, nothing looks real, dude. It looks like this surreal, like, Dune style, you know, Star Wars looking ass, like yellow filter, 10 filters, everything's like all super vibrant and crazy. Like, that's not what life looks like when you're out there on the beach. It just looked like a beach, right? And it's like everything, we're just being hit with so much shit that's so like unreal and so like, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality, everything's like this augmented version of itself. And I think that's kind of where we're hitting, like in a sales process and everything else. And marketing is the big one on this one. Marketing is like the, you know, marketing just isn't working anymore for a lot of companies, I think, because it's just like, they're not doing it authentically. They're trying to do this very like overblown thing that's all augmented. And I think with the sales process, the same thing, you're just trying to hit the bottom of the funnel with a real genuine, authentic message, be a genuine human being. Just be like, hey, you know, I'm curious if you guys are looking for something like this. Curious if you guys can take on more clients. You know, curious if you guys are running, you know, one of our strategies right now is to hit people that, you know, we'll do technographic data where we'll scrape everybody who's running ads in a certain niche of a certain size, all that kind of stuff, right? Grab our roles out of there, what we believe to be the roles, do a bit of a kind of an account-based sort of setup like that. And then we'll hit these guys up and we'll go, hey, are you guys running paid ads? You know, like not even like, we know they're running paid ads, right? So we already know that, but we're asking them that. And they go, yeah, we are. what do you want to know? And then you go, hey, well, how much are you guys spending on right now? How are you liking the results? How's it working out for you? Oh, well, it's okay. I don't know. I guess it could be better. You're right. Like that, you expose the need or the pain, like through these obvious questions that just kind of walk them down. Like, hey, you should trust me. I know what you're doing. And I'm curious if maybe you're qualified. Maybe we're qualified. Maybe you're qualified. Maybe it's a win-win, right? Just trying to find that authentically, like that win-win that isn't like, hey, we help companies with paid ads and we can increase your ROI from 5X to 10X. And it's like, yeah, I don't need that. Or I don't know who are you or what is it? You know what I mean? How do you do that? What's your, right? You're kind of like being a human being, walking them through a conversation. And I think for a lot of agencies and stuff, it's really annoying because it's not that same productized. Like a lot of companies have had to de-productize. I know one in particular that is a buddy I follow. His name's Jake. I can never get his last name, but the dude running Lead Cookie, he published a blog where he was talking about, Jorgman, and how he... I do. Yeah. I mean, I talked to him recently and ListKit guys have a podcast. And they just had him on it actually. So I don't know him personally, but we've spoken a couple times, but just his, he wrote that blog post where he basically said, I have to de-productize Lead Cookie. Like I spent all this time productizing Lead Cookie to be this very repeatable, blah, 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 blah. And then I've had to completely dismantle that whole thing. And we're literally doing custom, you know, manually sent, personalized, everything has to like, it's small pools of leads, it's like hyper segmented pools of leads. And it's sort of like, it's inconvenient for anybody trying to do it at scale, but
it's a cycle though, right? Like that, all that noise in the inbox happened because all these tools came, which made automating sending it easier. Right.
Yes,
and now everybody's getting inundated. So the attention goes down. And now there's tools coming in that are helping the quality get better of the email, right?
Right,
it's like ebb and then that's going to get productized. And then, you know, it's like these cycles.
Right. Yeah. And then what's next? It's like 100% manual sending one by one, like VA teams and stuff like that, which I know a lot of people do that.
I saw a guy sent me an email video where...
Okay.
Is some deep fake technology. And it was pretty much merge tags with video.
Damn, totally.
Any name he wanted with that merge tag in it. And it would be like a video of him and then the name, like the mouth would move.
What's that called? Descript. Descript does that. There's an app called Descript.
Where you can change the mouth moving?
You can do kind of like an overdub, like an AI overdub on videos and change the name, you know, and enter the merge tag kind of thing. And I know there's another one too. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but a lot of guys are,
change insane. The mouth moving? Like it'll change
They change the mouth moving. There's like, they have some... I mean, there's another one where it's a full AI person that looks like real as hell and they talk to you, and that's a whole another one, I think. But I've seen a couple of these technologies, and it is kind of creepy. I mean, I won't go into the other side of that because I had some buddies that were building a tool where it was like kind of the conversational thing that we're talking about having, but with like a dialogue flow bot, like using a bot. So once a reply comes in, you got like sentiment analysis. The bot like reads it and then it tries to reply based on like how it's been trained to deal with different responses and shit like that. And then it kind of go and it just walks them down like message by message. You know what I mean? If they don't write back, it goes, hey, first name. It's nasty. And I actually told this one guy about this. It was a client. We were just talking. He had been in direct mail for like, 100 years or whatever. Yeah. And we were talking about that and he was going, so, oh fuck, I'm going to be getting messages from a robot now. And it's going to God, he just like put his head down like, shit, this world's crazy. So anyway, go ahead.
I was saying, how are you handling replies?
Yeah. Again, trying to be as authentic as humanly possible. I think it's like trying to push to a meeting. I mean, in most of the businesses that we're dealing with, it's high ticket stuff. So there's no problem. I mean, the goal at the end of the day is try to get a meeting booked and explore if it's a fit. Generally, there's a bit of like pre-qualification in the replies. So like, and you can see this like in our masterclass that I released through ListKit. I made that whole course and there's like a whole section on kind of like dealing with replies because it's something that sort of like you just have to kind of like ask questions until it feels right. It feels like it's a good fit. And then shoot for the meeting. Like if they go, oh, it all sounds good. What's the pricing like? Or it all sounds good. How does it work? And then instead of sending a book, obviously I would never like send anything that was like, oh, this is how it works. It's just like, yeah, it's better to just discuss it on a call. I'd like to meet you anyway. Like,
so
let's jump in.
Process wise, you're putting them in a, like, pipeline or keeping them in a follow-up list, right?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Just following up. And a lot of times they'll drop off. So what we'll do is do first name question mark. Like we'll just be like, Morgan?
Yeah.
Where you at, man?
Yeah.
So it's real short, real, I don't know, man. It's kind of like that idea. I remember, I forget who said it, but it's like maybe a million people have said it since the turn of the century or something, but just, you kind of have to write like the copy, like you're talking to a 6-year old. I've heard this. I don't know if it was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who Ogilvy or somebody said this, but you have to be talking like to a 6-year old. You have to be like, everything has to be short. I think people tend to like overcomplicate replies and try to like write a book and be super persuasive. And so like, you shouldn't have to be persuasive. It's just like, yo, if this is interesting, these guys, let's jump on a call. If you don't have time for a call, then you don't have time to like commit to a process of actually working like with us and actually doing something. Right. So it's kind of,
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that's cyclical too. Cause you think about like years and years, like decades ago. Now you got something like AOL Instant Messenger was big. Or first it was like email came out, and that people would read every email real slow and read every, you've got mail. Then Messenger, right?
Yeah.
And then texting, and then we moved to more long form content, but then coming back to Twitter, you know, 140 characters, whatever.
Yep.
Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, like
it's, and I think you got some generational stuff happening too, you know, possibly like some generational, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, sometimes I'm like amazed that 10 years has passed since a certain point. Like I'm thinking like, damn, I've known that dude for 10, you know, it's mostly with that one. It's like, I've known that dude for 10 years. How is that? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I never thought I'd be the dude being like, yeah, I've known that dude for 10 fucking years. So, you know, time flies past and there's a lot of people, like the guys I'm working with in ListKit, for instance, are like in their 20s. They're like 24, mm-hmm. you know, they just stopped college like a couple of years ago, you know what I mean? And all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of like new blood. And I think a lot of companies are trying to get that new blood as well. I think there's a lot of like recruiting going on in that kind of generation pool. And these guys are like, you know, LMK, you know, smiley face. And this is how they communicate emojis. In a way too. Yeah, yeah. Emojis and all this. So it's sort of keeping up with that too. And trying to kind of know, I mean, just knowing your ideal client as much as humanly possible. I think that's like what, and that's kind of what I'm preaching a lot in the course and in all the content I'm making and just everything I'm telling everybody. People, I run a Telegram group as well, which is like kind of, it's growing pretty fast at the moment. And we're just constantly having these discussions. We're like, how do I know what to do? How do I know, you know, what to write back to this? How do I know what to price this at? How do I know? And it's like, because you've done your research on your ideal client, you know who your ideal client mm-hmm. is, you know what their problems are, you know what's keeping them up at night. You've talked to a few of them, you've surveyed them at some point, even if you have to like gray hat it and like act like a student in college. And I'm just trying to talk to leaders in the whatever industry, you know what I mean? I just wonder if I could like get you to, you know, on the phone for 5 minutes. And people are usually like, yeah, sure. You know, that's, I'm a leader in the industry. Well, yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Intimate knowledge.
Yeah. So know your market, know your ideal like client and inside of the ideal client, you got the buyer committee and all this stuff, man, which, you know, I know a couple guys who go deep into this and they got Slack groups. I think one, I should share it just so. Yeah, Sales Stack, Slack group, right? These guys, you know, they're deep about it. They talk about, you know, the buyer committee mapping out, you know, the stakeholders, mapping out the champions, mapping out the decision makers, influencing the champions, influencing the decision makers, like how to sort of handle bigger deals. I mean, this only applies mostly to bigger deals, but I think it's still, it applies to every size of what you're dealing with, whether that's like one person who's like a local business owner or whether that's six people that are involved in this buyer decision and a couple of them are just like executive assistants. But if they tell the boss, hey, you know, this presentation from this dude was awesome. You should speak to him, but we should use this. They're going to be like, cool. They're going to be primed on it. It's that gatekeeper mentality also. And this is also authenticity. And it comes back to authenticity, what we're talking about. Like, it's that gatekeeper mentality. Nah, it's a gatekeeper. Like, don't waste your time with the gatekeeper. I'd say waste your time with the gatekeeper because that gatekeeper, she's keeping the gate.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, get in there, influence that person too. Like, have your shit together so you know what the priorities of a company or these people are. I also think it's funny, you know, like smaller companies, they're more focused on their company. Like you can address them as company name. You can say, hey, can I help company name? And they're like, ooh, they said the company name. You know, they're very intimate with their company. Guys at bigger organizations, they're a little less intimate with the company. It's more about your role. How can I make your role easier? Yeah. How can I make your job easier? How can I make your team more efficient? How can I make you a winner and make you like the man in the office, right? It's sort of like, you just have to like, you know, all these little dynamics I think are super important. And just a lot of it comes through experience, but you can jumpstart that just by talking to people, I think, a lot. And there's a lot of info on Reddit and all these sub communities and, you know, indie hackers, if you're going after, you know, if you were going after bootstrap founders, which I'm not sure why you would, but if you were, you know, you got like indie hackers, right? You got Sales Stack, like, you got Sales Hacker, right? Which is, you know, we did like a guest post with those guys. They're super great. I love that forum. And you want to see what salespeople are thinking in these different roles and SDR, AE, blah, blah, blah. Go to Sales Hacker. You're going to see a bunch of questions from people over the last years and do all that research, I guess. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you take Spanish in high school and you ask the teacher, any Spanish teacher in the country, you know, how did you learn Spanish? Did you take a class? Oh, no, I lived in, you know, South America. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
You got to immerse yourself in it, you know?
Guess I got to go to South America. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
yeah, man. Yeah. And I think it is authenticity on that level too, man. Yet again, you know, you just got to be authentic with people like, hey, what's your role all about? I don't know, you know? So tell me, what do you do on a daily basis? You know I'm trying to sell some shit to your boss, but I care about you too. What's going on? You know what I mean? And just be, you know, take the time to sort of, obviously there's going to be the unqualified shit that like you got to be able to sense that too, or the bad clients or the bad customers or the ones that are going to be a time waster or the, you know, the tire kickers and free people and freebie blah, blah,
seekers,
blah. But freebie seeker, freebie, you know, all this crap. But beyond that, I think it's just, make a genuine impact. I've had situations, actually, like one of my mentors actually is a guy I cold emailed. I thought he was a role in this company. He actually was not, he had a role at the company, but he was actually like a consultant. Mm-hmm. And we ended up connecting. We had like, we resonated super well after he, like, that company kind of, I don't know, wasn't utilizing his advice very much. They weren't down to have a budget. They just weren't down to like invest in the thing. And he was telling them exactly what they needed to do. They kind of dissolved and they kind of went the other way. And they're like, ah, we're just going to do our thing. Cool. He left and he hit me back up and goes, hey man, like that conversation we had was really great. What are you doing now? How can we collaborate? It's like, you never know who you're going to touch. I reckon that like may later down the line, you know, getting a new role or a new job or a new something, you know what I mean? And you can collaborate. So that too. I've made a lot of really great relationships just like cold emailing that kind of go beyond ROI, like direct ROI. You know, it's like 4 years later, we're like working on shit. That guy, actually, we're working on a marketplace of courses, B2B like courses and stuff like that. That's going to be like this kind of sort of Udemy, curated Udemy and stuff like that. So it's just funny, you know, like it just ends up going down that road where you're just working on other shit with other people. So
nice.
Being authentic, man.
What type of results have you seen from using ListKit and personalizing those first lines?
Yeah. So we've had a couple of like really cool success stories. So you can, number one, I mean, I can kind of explain them, but if you go to the ListKit website as well, we have like a wall of a growing wall of testimonials and folks talking about kind of the experience and stuff like that. I mean, overall, you know what I mean? We're not responsible for the copy that people are writing.
Right.
And, you know, we're providing the course and we're trying to kind of like help people along. But one standout was a dude named Corey Cody. I always get those mixed. Cody, who he's basically doing an agency. So it's a lead gen agency.
Cody James?
And no, his name is Cody Carnes. Cody Carnes. I'm not sure. I don't know how to pronounce that. I guess here we would say Carnes, but
yeah.
Cody Carnes. Yeah, this dude, he was sort of starting an agency, sort of starting out. He was going after helping creative agencies and sort of like branding agencies and guys like that to get like the bigger deals, I guess. You know what I mean? Because that's generally what those guys are going for, is like logos and bigger deals. So basically he got a ListKit from us. He started sending, and I think it was within 5 days. He had closed the client. He had just like, he got a bunch of replies. I think he booked 4 or 5 meetings from that list. I think it was a list of 150 people, something like that, or 150 to 300 people. I can't remember exactly how many, but I think it was one of the 100 or maybe 100 people lists. It was a very small list. And he just was kind of sending his his tests out, and I kind of helped him write the copy a little bit, and he just, boom, he immediately got like 4 meetings booked from those 100. I think he booked more after that, but he closed the client like within like 5 days or something like that. So it was like a week that he was just pumping, got the list in 24 hours, got a client a week. So it's sort of like, it's also the speed, I think, that's really cool about ListKit. It's like this 24-hour, we haven't really solidified it into a guarantee or anything. We're trying to kind of be on the safe side of that, because if we have a bit more quantity, it can get a little crazy. It is a service and we're manually doing it. But so far, we've been up for almost 3 months now, and every order has been in 24 hours or less. So we're trying to stick to that as much as possible. But so that amount of speed is just great, man. I mean, no matter what you're doing, if you know your ICP and you're just direct and you have a great offer and you know it, and you're just boom, you're just going to book meetings with it. If you're testing the market, or you're like trying different segments or something like that, and you're just trying to kind of get some feedback or serve a survey or something, I mean, you're still, you know, same thing. It's just within 24 hours, you're able to go.
And you get saving folks first a lot of lines, time. Accurate data, tech stack data, revenue data, job post data, intent data.
Yep. We can do tech stack data, which is super helpful. We can do intent based data from like a job hiring or seniority changes, like senior leadership changes. So I always like that one a lot too, like with big organizations, like, you know, it's a new CMO in place, or it's a new director of marketing in place, or it's a new whatever, director of operations in place. Generally, those guys get in and they need to shake it up, right? Like they need to do something to prove that they need to either change something or like improve something or do something, right? And come to the table with some ideas, you know what I mean? And if they're just doing the same thing the other guy was doing, it's not generally very a good idea. So, and they're brought in for some kind of reason. So anyway, like senior leadership changes, all that good stuff, man. I'm looking to see if there's anything else. Yeah, job post data. Yeah, revenue data. We do revenue estimates. We also provide direct dials as a part of the list too. So that can be obviously not for everybody, but maybe 50 to 60% of people generally in a list you'll get a mobile phone number as well. So we shoot to have all that stuff. Give you everything you need.
Awesome, man. Very comprehensive.
Yeah, man. I mean, the partners on this are awesome guys who are also running an agency, also doing some amazing work. They're very active on Twitter. So the Twitter's ListKit.io, and then you can kind of see all of us in there. But they're really talented guys. One of the guys' name's Andre, and he's they're just really smart dudes. Like I said, they're younger than me. I'm like in my 30s now, but they're like, you know, 24. 25 years old, and these guys are like real fresh into the game. They're passionate about it, and they're handling pretty much all the fulfillment and kind of like pushing that process forward. So it's really awesome to see what they're doing, and all the partnerships and stuff that we're trying to make. Like Line.ai is one of our partners, so that's where we're getting all the first lines and working with those guys intimately, giving them feedback. Everybody's kind of getting better because of all the feedback thrown around. So it's really cool. Hans is great, man. What a smart dude. He's one of our testimonials on the site. Actually, that guy is a really cool dude and really knowledgeable. And the other guy, Andrew, is awesome. We had a couple conversations on Memphis hip hop tapes and stuff like that. This guy's pretty cool dude. Instant resonance with these guys. So, very cool. Yeah.
Awesome. ListKit.io, Alex.
Yeah.
Appreciate you stopping by again.
All right, man. Thank you, Morgan. And I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you always.
Have a good one.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening.